Good morning. You might have noticed some changes in my appearance, right? I got a reading glass. I need to tie it around my neck, admitting that I am reaching there, you know, slowly with the reading glass inconvenience, because to want to see all of you, I don't need that glass because it's a nuisance. But when I want to see the words in the Bible, I definitely need reading glass. So I just go through this training time now, and bear with me. I was just thinking in the coming and dividing the word and talking to you is a blessing. But on top of that, there's an added blessing. Yeah? You probably may not realize it, that when I stand here, I will get an advantage to have a closer look on all your faces, which normally I don't, because in the fellowship room, you elbow around your ways, you just speak to a few of you, and sometimes I feel disappointed because I wanted to talk to many, but it may not work. But I'm glad that once in a while, I will get a closer look on faces which are so valuable before the Lord. Just would like to concentrate on few Bible verses this morning. Please stand with me to Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew 15, starting from verse 21. We will read for the first part up to 27, and then we will take verse 28 later. So I have a request and a question that these six verses we are going to read together, I would have one question before I start the message. So I would patiently expecting an answer from the audience. So bear with that in mind and please concentrate when I read. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, if even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Which verse do you think which is standing out from any other verse in the six verse? Can I get a response from anyone, please? Thank you. See that the way how she talks. "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I am glad that there is some kind of consensus on this verse. And we will realize later on as we move further, what kind of request is that? You know, it's amazing to see that this woman coming out calling for real help. And we just want to highlight a few things before we move further. By reading these verses, you know, we will try to find out what is her background. What is this? It says a woman. It says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. That's all it says. Secondly, Her daughter's name is also brought here in the talk. And her name is also not given. The woman's name is not given. It says a woman came and asking with a very real, genuine cry and a help. Now, remember that the Lord at this time, after passing the region of Galilee, he is actually on the coastal side of Sidon and Tyre, which are the Gentile territory. He'd been ministering earlier to several needy people, but right now he is in Tyre and Sidon. And while he was there, this is what happened. A woman came pleading for her help. By the way, when the meeting started, I have been searching for a good title for this few 6-7 verses that we read. I had to confess that I couldn't find a correct, appropriate title even while coming. And while listening to God's servant, Josh P. John, he opened the initial remarks with two words. He said that turbulence and peace, isn't it? It's a very fitting title for this passage as well. There is turbulence, but there is also peace in this passage. Turbulence in the sense that a person is really put to the test where no one can help her. Demon possessed people, they are really a threat to others, threat to themselves. There's no escape from the demons. And we, in my earlier days as a little boy, I had seen a long, not a closer look, but at a distance, I saw one or two instances why and how people go through agony during this time. One of my uncles from my mother's side, he was a gifted servant of God that he used to help certain people who were demon possessed. And he took a lot of preparation when he go for that. We took time off from his work, spent time in fasting and prayer with a couple of his other close friends. And with that much of preparation, sometimes needed to deal with the situation. And he really helped a couple of people at the time. He already passed away several years ago. But it is a scary thing to watch or to hear some of the damages, some of the destructions a demon-possessed person can do. And by the way, none of us need to be worried about that problem, because the moment you place your trust in Lord Jesus, it is his promise that none of those things that the heathens, the Gentiles were being subjected to, you won't be having that experience, because by the blood of Jesus, you are safe and secure. Nothing can happen. I just would like to highlight a few things. There is a crisis to begin with at the first couple of words. And there's also, after those topic is mentioned here, that particular incident is mentioned here, we find a contrast between two situations. One is she had been crying and also earnestly requesting for a deliverance, and she is actually crying the name of the Lord. And here is the response from the Lord. The first one, verse 23. Let me go a verse prior to that. See, the verse says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." This is a best way as a Jew to address Lord Jesus, Son of David. But the problem with this lady was she is not qualified to call him a son of David because she's a Gentile. That prerogative, that position is not for the Gentiles, it's only for the Jews, because Lord Jesus came primarily first to the Jews' salvation. And so they call him son of David with due respect. In fact, a lot of Arabs, you know, use the same way of addressing the person of reputation. And if they really needed a favor from them, this is the way they address, calling that person son of David. Instead of son of David, you know, this is son of the dad. To give you just an example, so say pick you one from the audience. Rakesh, is Rakesh here? Yes, right there. Rakesh is my friend. I need a help from Rakesh. So best way to address Rakesh is, Rakesh, son of God's servant, Venugopal, would you lend me $500? Hey, Rakesh is almost like obligated because I am taking credit and also a privilege to call him as son of Venugopal. It takes some weight. It takes a kind of a position and a privilege to call somebody a son of son. Maybe this woman thought that she would really impress upon the Lord by calling him son of David. And that, yeah, the answer, of course, no response. He says he did not even say a word. And the disciples came and asked him, send her away. And then he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Number three, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help. This is a heart that is really ruined and torn, and such a desperate cry, Lord, after worshiping him, says, Lord, help me. And see that what is our Lord's response again, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. His third denial most likely could have hurt her, but she responded with another statement. She says, Lord, yes, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Christ Jesus probably referring to the pattern where little dogs, family dogs, stay at the table and eat the crumbs from the master's table, which was probably a practice, maybe even today, who knows. But she was even crying, Master, at least little dogs would get the crumbs. And then let's move to verse 28. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you. And your daughter was healed from that very moment. She had a disadvantage to approach Lord Jesus because she was not a Jewess. And that women generally not welcome at men's gathering. They had to sit separately, not anywhere near men. A third disadvantage was she had a daughter who was demon-possessed. What else, you know, drive her out from human friendship, human company? With that predicament, you know, this girl, this lady is crying, Lord, save me. You notice that at the second denial, what did she do? She worshiped. She worshiped. I just could not figure out how much a person can take God's promises, peace in times of turbulence. This is a good example. Even then, even when she was a Gentile, she showed exceptional courage and showed peace and asking him that she wants to worship. Not only that, she worshipped him. She bowed down and worshipped. That is something really put us to task. Usually, people worship, and we know that a lot of things happened in Lord Jesus' ministry. In times of serving others, in times of healing others, in times of rescuing others, people worship him, which is quite natural because they received a favor. Even the disciples, when they were tempest-tossed, you know, in the Sea of Galilee, when he rebuked the storm, we notice that in the scripture says they worship him because the wind and the storm obey his word. So they worship him. In this case, there's a contrast, right? None of her request was granted. She is still in turbulence and no sign of escape, but she worshiped him in any case because she had that God-given instinct and the blessing from above. He is worthy to be worshipped regardless of whatever the situation she was in. If she was the daughter was healed, worshipping, we can understand. But even before anything happened, scripture says she worshipped me. I think, brothers and sisters, this is a good example to learn that you don't have to wait until you receive a favor from the Lord to worship him. You are compelled, you are even expected to worship him, because if this woman can worship him at this kind of an odd situation, no wonder God gave her a great compliment in verse 28. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Think about all the other baggage that she was carrying. Nothing mentioned about her husband. Nothing mentioned about her background other than she is a Gentile woman. Nothing mentioned about the names of the woman or her daughter. But, you know, a person who is demon-possessed at home, there's no peace at home. The person has to be watched 24 hours a day. How much agony this lady had to go through. But in spite of all that happened in her life, nothing stopped her worshiping the Lord. Because she had that urging from God above that he is worthy to be worshipped. And no wonder blessings came out of that episode. She realized that all her pain and agony is nothing compared to the great presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he complimented her, "Oh woman, great is your pain." I just thinking, you know, that when circumstances are really good, our mind is in perfect peace. Can you think of any circumstance in your life it was not possible? Someone has said that in any church, some went through a tempest or a turbulence in the past. Some might be in the middle of a tempest. And there are a lot of people, young possible, or even old, may not have gone through that experience. But something we notice from the word of God, that it would come. If you are a born-again believer, I can tell you it will come the most unexpected time. But even in that tempest and turbulence, nothing would help you. You will be tempest-tossed, and all you can do is call upon this great Son of God who is our Savior. There are so many hymns in our red hymnal and black hymnal, where men in the past, you know, that experienced tempest in their life, but they drew comfort even at the time. And how God has blessed their life, others' life, by giving them ample assurance through their hymn, that is the time you will be closer to God. So this is my assurance to every one of you. Glad you haven't gone through a tempest experience in life, a trial, but if it comes, remember this day and remember these words. The Lord Jesus that complimented this woman. Oh, woman, great is faith. Job, at the peak of his suffering, he said, even if he kill me, I still worship. Even if everything is gone, Job's experience reminds us that no matter property, home, family, anything that you have, your health, everything is gone, but Job says, I will still trust him because he is worthy to be worshipped. Some of you could look back and remember that God only helped you at the time, right? It's not because of your ability, your faith, or you were any good in you, help you. But this is the promise of God, that no matter anything happens in life, He is our refuge and help. A day or a time, if it comes in your life, take courage. He is the captain of our soul. He will take care. I just would like to conclude, you know, today's thought with one hymn that's in our red hymnal 514. The hymn writer was going through a lot of tough experience, but he says, I got a lover in my life, my soul, and lover of my soul is Lord Jesus. What a great comfort is that. That Jesus, lover of my soul, into your hand I fly. And Jan is going to help us with that hymn. And after that, I will close it in prayer. Verse 2, read, other refuge have I none, thanks my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, till support and comfort. All my trust on thee is taken, all my help from thee I bring. And finally, the last one says, plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams about make and keep me pure within. Thou, O life, the fountain art, freely let me take you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you because nothing is too hard for the Lord. No matter turbulence, unhappy, unfortunate situations happening to anyone, especially God's people, you can turn it around, bring glory out of that, victory for your servants. Plenteous grace with thee is found, cover all my sin. Let this healing streams abound, rise up within my heart, all through eternity. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, comforting, assuring words, even through speaking. The Canaanite woman had no right to call upon him, son of David. She had no access and no chance to get a favor from them. But even in utter depravity, Lord, in all her pain and sorrow, she came and worshipped him as we read. Not only Father, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, give me that crown. That was her question. Her request was so small, but it was out of her desperate situation. And Lord, how you rewarded her. Wherever the gospel is preached, this Canaanite woman is also mentioned because she pleased her even in her trial. This morning, Lord, we are so grateful that you have given us bitter experience in the past. But Lord, each of us come back and tell you this morning that you are such an altogether lovely Savior. You would one day will reward your servants and you will prove justice is done. And help us, Father, to be occupied in your business as well. Thank you for the great testimony of this woman. We pray, Father, that your saints in here and also all around the world go through a testing time at this year, month, and day of life. Especially, Lord, your saints in India, Middle Eastern countries, especially in Israel, even in the United States, Lord, all around the world, eagerly waiting for the redemption of their life, Lord. Although we placed our trust in you, Lord, we know that we may have to go through difficult times ahead, but we pray that thou would send deliverance in the right time. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and take us back to heaven. Thank you for everyone here in the chapel and those who are online. Father, we pray that they would meet and also fill us with your spirit and also with your blessing at this time. Because we live in a perilous time, give us, Lord, the unction from you, confidence in you, hope in you. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom our life is set. Send us, Lord, with more blessings in the days. We give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' blessed name.